Hey there. You are listening to Port Zero, a Polygon Studios podcast and your port of entry to the metaverse. I am Brian Trunzo, metaverse lead at Polygon Studios, and I'm joined today by the legendary Kathy Hackle, godmother of the metaverse, business executive, futurologist, keynote speaker, strategist. Kathy, if I'm leaving anything out, please let me know. It's great to have you here today.
I'm excited to be here, Brian.
Did I leave anything out there? I feel like you're so many things. Like, I could just go on for 30 minutes.
Author. I mean, I don't know. I just, you know, jack of all trades, but I'm not a jack. So Mary of all trades.
A Jill of all trades.
I'm a Jill of all trades.
I love that you said author, because I'll put a pin in that. We'll get to that later, because I know that your book is coming out. So a little teaser for people to stick with us for the next half hour. We'll get to that later. Maybe we'll start with what I find to be the most interesting way of describing you, and that's that godmother of the metaverse. Where did that come from?
So that happened actually August of 2021. This is how that came to be. Because people are like, you know, self-appointed. I'm like, I did not appoint myself godmother of the metaverse. This is how it happened. Alexis Ohanian tweeted sometime in August 2021, he wanted to follow more women and BIPOC folks for like NFT, metaverse, Web3. He was trying to find more folks, right? And my friend Andrew Schwartz from Nike's metaverse team wrote a few names, and then he said, oh, and don't forget Kathy Hackle, comma, she's the godmother of the metaverse. So a friend of mine took a screenshot. They sent it to me. And then I messaged Andrew, and like folks just started retweeting it, and people just started to use it. And just the community, I love, because first of all, it came from Andrew, who is a big part of the community. He's a big champion, you know, doing amazing work over at Nike. And then the community started to use it. So I wear it as a badge of honor, to be honest. Like, to me, it's like a badge of honor. And I am proud, you know, I'm proud to be called the godmother of the metaverse. So I'm still defining whether I'm more, you know, like Cinderella godmother, or, you know, Corleone side, like, you know, the godfather type of godmother. So I'm still trying to find where I am in there, in that broad spectrum of godmothering.
I can imagine it depends on the day, what mask you want to put on, right? Like, we all have many different masks.
Yeah.
That's so good. I will say, you know, that phrase, that moniker definitely carries some weight with it. And I got to say, when I first met you, I was intimidated. You know, for anyone who doesn't know, I met Kathy a couple months ago. We shared some airtime on CNBC. The call time was super early. I think it was 5:30 a.m. So we became fast friends, I would say. And that moniker definitely was pretty intimidating for me to share the screen with you, I got to say.
Well, we bonded over coffee in an early morning, you know, on Squawk Box. But, you know, another thing to mention there, and I think it's funny that you say that, because, like, I mean, I take it seriously, but, you know, I'm just the regular person. Another thing is, like, I've been in metaverse industries, working in metaverse related industries for over almost 8 years. Right. So I've been doing this for a long time. I've been talking to executives about the metaverse for a long time. It's not like I read an article and all of a sudden I was like, ooh, I'm an expert. No, like, I've been doing this for a long time. So it's funny. I think it's funny, you know, when people meet me, it's still strange. I still struggle with the fact that a lot of people know me or feel like they know me. And then when they meet me, there's this like really interesting moment. I'll get a lot, like, you know, I have a podcast, right, with Adweek, and a lot of people love the podcast, and they'll be like, oh, I love, you know, they'll say my kids' names and things, like, because I put my kids in my podcast. So it's funny when people like get to know you through the content you put out, and then they share things back with you. It's actually really, really funny.
I love that you mentioned how long you've been at this for, right? I guess that's implied in the godmother of the metaverse phrase, but maybe if we can rewind the clock a little bit, because actually I had stumbled across your work some time ago. I was doing trend forecasting at WGSN, and you came up in my research probably about 6 years ago. You had already started to develop a reputation for yourself well before then. So, you know, just going to rattle off some of the companies I know that you've worked with or for: HTC, Magic Leap, Amazon Web Services, obviously with your consulting, all of the luxury groups, consumer products groups. You have deep connections to all of them. Let's rewind the clock 8 years ago. What was that like when you started working in this field and planting a flag that you were going to be and were and still are a thinker on this subject?
So I'll tell you the story, the genesis of this. And actually, we have to go further back, way back to 2004. So, wow, that's way back. So 2004, I was working for CNN. So I wasn't even in tech at that time. But I was, part of my job at CNN was to look at all the raw footage that was coming in from the war in Iraq, right? So horrible stuff. Like, right, I had to sit, that was part of my job, was to sit through horrible things coming in. Not the only thing I did, but it was part of it. So I always joke that I was like a Facebook moderator or YouTube moderator before they existed. But when you have that type of job, you have to kind of turn your humanity switch off just a little bit, or turn the dial, right, just to get by. And for me, it wasn't until about 8 years ago that I went to a conference. I was already working in tech. I was working in the live video space. And I went to a conference and got invited to put a virtual reality headset on. And I put the headset on. I was put into this virtual experience called Confinement by The Guardian, that puts you in a very small solitary confinement cell in virtual reality. And I mean, within a couple of minutes, I've heard claustrophobic, but I felt something. And the only way I can describe it, Brian, is like I was able to turn that switch back on, or turn that dial back to where it should be. That's the only way I can describe it. I took the headset off and I said, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. This is the future of storytelling. I don't even know how I'm going to do this. But yeah, I literally made a very, very, it was a decisive moment. I made a decision. I got on the rocket, right? I recognized a rocket when I saw one, and I have not gotten off. And that's led me to, started with VR and then moved over to spatial computing and gaming. And, it's just kind of taken me on an interesting, amazing ride in my life and career.
That's amazing. And, as you were saying that, you started rattling off some of the fields that you worked in. I was thinking before you were saying that of Matthew Ball's framework for the metaverse. He has his 8 points. And how usually you can find someone who is an expert in like one or two, but you seem to have touched most all of it. Can maybe you give a sense of your experience in AR and VR or compute or networking, because you do span across pretty much everything that the metaverse has to offer.
Yeah. I mean, my initial experience was in virtual reality, right? My first job in VR was with a small content studio called Future Lighthouse, which, wasn't able to raise enough funds. So it was one of the, during the VR hype cycles, one of the victims, but we did amazing content way before, it was cinematic VR content. We did amazing content. It was, ahead of its time. So from a content perspective, that's where I first got my, the first taste, let's say, then went over to hardware for virtual reality and got to work with, at HTC Vive. I think the big moment for me was when Magic Leap called, right? Magic Leap, for those listening to this, you might know, might not know who they are, but they make they use the term spatial computing, like spatial computing glasses, in essence, putting a supercomputer on your face, which is an incredibly hard challenge. But when I went to work there, Brian, I went to work there thinking they were the next Apple, right? I mean, Neil Stephenson was our chief futurist. He coined the term metaverse. John Gaeta, who created the Bullet Sequence, worked there as well. Like, I worked with amazing people at Magic Leap. It was quite an experience. And I think that's where I finally, that's the moment, that's the company, I would say, where I realized what the metaverse was, right? And what it could become. And it was one of the North Stars. People don't know that, but one of the North Stars at Magic Leap when I was working there was called the Magicverse. They branded it, but it was the metaverse. Right. From day one, they were talking to you about this. And at first it was hard to wrap my head around it, but I kept working there and I was almost there for 2 years. It just became second nature and totally made sense to me. Right. So from there, went to Amazon Web Services, worked on a whole bunch of things there. But one of the really cool projects was large scale gaming simulations. So trying to figure out, how many people can you have per instance and how do you increase that? Which is a huge thing that needs to be solved for, the metaverse to be enabled. So yeah, it's been, a cloud computing side that I've touched a lot of things and I've learned a lot about all of these things along the way. And yeah, so when I think about the metaverse, I have a pretty expansive view. I don't just think it's virtual reality, right? For me, it encompasses both the virtual spaces, but also the physical world.
Yeah, for sure. Watching this sort of blended reality, Ready Player One type, Snow Crash type existence sort of evolve. You know, it's almost like human evolution. We're crawling out of the seas and standing up on our two legs and then becoming a new species almost. It really is fascinating. And I definitely adopt a similar point of view as you as to how expansive this concept of the metaverse is. So maybe point it to some discrete parts of it that you find most interesting these days, because you do have such a breadth of knowledge across all of it. Where do you, like, your intellectual curiosity, where do you find yourself most interested? Which part of the metaverse would you say?
Yeah, I mean, what I'm interested in right now, I mean, I'm interested in a lot of things, right? And we'll talk about fashion and luxury, because that's obviously one of my favorite things in the world, you know, when it comes to metaverse. But I think right now there's a few things. LiDAR, the technology, you know, that I think is critical for the enablement of the physical world metaverse. I think it's, you know, not undervalued, but I don't think enough people are talking about LiDAR and what you can do with LiDAR. Our phones already have LiDAR scanners. Like, there's a lot of stuff we can do to be able to read the world around us in a digital way, right? So very much into that, very much into volumetric video. Let's call it holograms for lack of a better word, but there's no light field. But, you know, volumetric video, I'm very, very interested in looking at volumetric video for communication, for historical preservation. So, you know, holograms for historical preservation, and just pushing the limits. Like, during Metaverse Fashion Week, where I was invited to be the chairwoman for the event, I actually hologrammed in live into Decentraland. No one had done that before. So that was, you know, trying to push the limits of what these technologies can do, bringing them together. So yeah, those are two things that I'm really excited about. I mean, brain computer interface also gets me, you know, very excited. So yeah, I think those are some of the things. But yeah, I mean, I think fashion, luxury in the metaverse, that, you know, that makes me very, very excited too and happy. Yeah, I will say this, and I think you can probably agree, is I think with Web 1 and Web 2, you know, a lot of the innovation, you know, came from social media, but also came from the adult entertainment industry, and to each his own, you know, that's what people like. But I do feel like art, for me, art and fashion are really the ones pushing the limits right now of metaverse and Web 3. And I think that's a beautiful thing.
I couldn't agree with you more. I've been saying H2 of 22 and all of 23 really feels like fashion's like big moment. I feel like people are gearing up to really get their long-term vision right and start executing. That being said, you know, you also did mention the open decentralized web. You were speaking of Decentraland, and the work that you did with them was nothing short of amazing. And taken together with fashion, my two favorite things in the world, I guess this is a really great place to jump into that part of the conversation. And I usually start this part of the conversation by asking the person I'm speaking with, you know, what was your crypto pill moment? Like, when did this intersect with the work you were doing as a strategist and futurologist and someone working in AR and VR?
It happened shortly after. So I left Magic Leap and I was working at AWS, but I was still writing for Forbes, which was a wonderful thing. And I wrote an article called, it said, "Is Direct to Avatar the Next Direct to Consumer?" And I wrote this article in collaboration with Ryan Gill from Crucible. And it was an aha moment for me. Like, that was an aha moment. It was the moment where I was like, oh my goodness, there's so much here from a fashion perspective. I mean, I had already done some work with, you know, talked to some brands when I was at Magic Leap, like H&M and stuff like that. But that was the moment when we wrote that article together, collaborated on it. And then what came after that was just this, I had like amazing people in the fashion world reach out to me and be like, I had never read something that really explained to me what this could mean for fashion. You know, it was early. That's like August 2020. Okay. Like, that's how, like, it seems like a million years ago. And that was the moment where things started to move. And I started to really get into crypto. I started to get into blockchain, started to think about NFTs, and actually started working with, for example, Ralph Lauren, who was, you know, they were one of my first metaverse clients, and created, you know, helped them create their foundational metaverse strategy. So that article to me was the moment that catapulted me into looking at virtual fashion further, and that led me down the rabbit hole of Web3. In all honesty, those were the moments. Yeah. And what was my first NFT? I bought Top Shot, but I think it was like I think the time, the moment I took the plunge, full on, I would say, was buying like a Kings of Leon NFT that Yellowheart did like a million years ago. It was one of the first like celebrity drops. Yeah, it was like a cherry. I cannot remember what it was, but I think that was my first NFT.
I'm picturing you queuing up for Top Shots, FOMOing into these packs on the secondary market while like blaring your early aughts Kings of Leon. Like, I'm trying to picture this in my head.
Yeah, I mean, it was weird. People were like, what are you, what? Yeah, but I had one or two friends that were into it too. So like, at least I felt like there was a safe space where I can share, you know, I can share. Because it feels that, I think it felt at that time, and it still feels at times as a contact sport. Like, I feel NFTs are a contact sport.
It's so true. You know, they say COVID changed us, right?
Yeah.
That's so funny. So sticking with the fashion topic, is there any particular part of it that you find more interesting than the other? And if you think this question's too targeted and you want to broaden the scope, please, by all means, this is your time. But is there something about maybe like identity or creativity or self-expression, or is there anything specific about the utility or the usage of fashion NFTs that you find particularly interesting?
I love how it's unleashing creativity in a way we've never seen before, because we didn't have the tools, right? But you know, I think, I don't know, like seeing my kids outfit their avatars and the importance they place on that, seeing them, you know, eventually build and design, that to me has been awakening, like an awakening of sorts. You know, what I'm really interested in, to be honest, is, and I love disruption, is I've been thinking a lot about, like, I want to be able to sit in a room, grab traditional designers, right? People that went to Parsons and stuff like that, and like are designing traditional focused designers in the luxury space, put them in a room with game developers and see what they dream up. Like that, there's friction there. There's a friction there because there are, you know, there's certain things that the fabric can't currently do in the game engines. But that's one of my dreams. One of my dreams is to put these people together and see what they can dream up. I think there's going to be some beautiful things that come from that. You know, it's like a new renaissance for fashion. And I don't know. It's just really exciting. Really exciting. I also love the idea of democratizing the fashion show, right? Beyond like, you know, there's only so many people that can be front row. So democratizing the fashion show in some ways, I don't know. It's such an exciting moment for fashion. I don't know. I don't think I've ever been this excited.
Yeah, I love that idea of democratizing. It's like the peek behind the curtain, you know, and it's just turbocharging that which Web 2 did, right? Like, you know, Instagram gave us a chance to be on the brand journey through images. You know, over time, the Insta went away, right? It became highly staged and highly produced. But this just really feels like a turbocharged version of that, no?
Yeah, I agree. And I love, you know, when I talk to some of the brands, it's like, you might be an aspirational brand, but if that kid can buy, you know, a $10, $20 Gucci shirt for their avatar and wear it, they are creating a brand awareness and affinity for your brand. And eventually when they're old enough to be able to buy the actual physical item, they will, because they've fallen in love with your brand. I mean, Zoe Scammon talks a lot about the future of fandom. And I think that luxury itself, you know, we love brands. We're fans of brands, right? I think there's a lot there. What else? I'm excited, like Polimoda Institute in like Milan, not Milan, sorry. But they're embracing technology. I just read an article in Italian Vogue talking about how they're going to be incorporating metaverse and you know, game design into the way they teach fashion. I mean, the Polimoda. So I don't know. I think it's just an exciting time. I think people are reinvigorated. I don't know. It's just a beautiful renaissance that is upon us.
It's super cool with fashion and luxury because, you know, to the outside sort of, you know, to the uninitiated, to people who have not worked in it or do not know the industries, it would seem that these are industries that are extremely progressive because of their taste level and because of their ideas and the concepts that they wrestle with. But when you look under the hood of what the industry actually is, there's so many parts of it that are old, that are fairly conservative, from the supply chain to the way that product is produced and shown. And it almost feels, and I would love to get your take on this, maybe develop this idea further, or maybe disagree. It almost feels as if some of these brands realize that not that they missed Web 2, because they all kind of figured it out and jumped on later, but maybe they realized they were a little bit late to Web 2 and maybe this is not the time to be late. Well, how do you have these conversations with your clients?
100%. You know, some of the brands that I talked to, like, they were late to e-commerce or they were late to Web 2. And now there's a sense of urgency of like, we need to stay culturally relevant, right? What does Web 3 mean for us? What does the metaverse mean for us? So yeah, I do see this eagerness to jump in. I mean, not everyone can be Gucci and Balenciaga. Like, I think we all know that, right? They can take those risks. That's who they are. That's part of their ethos. But yeah, I think some of them are, I feel like even within the luxury conglomerates that I do work with, there's crawl, walk, run, right? Some brands are ready to just run and jump and like, you know, parachute in. Some are just taking their time. And I think everyone has to, each brand is going to have their own journey. They're going to have to, you know, to use the most used word in that space, but like a bespoke strategy. They need to be a bespoke strategy for each maison. But I think that, you know, I think the big thing that I have espoused on the conglomerates that I work with is that the next 2 years, let's say, this is the time to experiment. Even if you don't experiment publicly, not everything has to be a press release, right? You can start experimenting with things, prototypes, all those sorts of things, because I don't think that in 2 years, you know, it'll be a little late in my perspective, you know, to be able to kind of experiment. I think now is the time for brands to really start to, you know, innovate, experiment, try to figure out what does this mean for them. And build towards a solid strategy.
It's really crazy. You say in 2 years it might be too late. And as soon, I almost had like hair stand up on my neck when you said that, because I've been using the phrase dog years to describe the feeling of working in Web3. And it really does feel like in 2 years that might be more like 10 years in terms of the progress that we make. So really prescient point. I really appreciate that. I agree with that entirely. You know, you said parachute in. Some people are parachuting in, and it made me realize that maybe the Adidas launch in collaboration with G Money and the Apes, of that ape parachuting in, maybe that had something to do with the speed at which they were working. Maybe there was a double entendre there that we didn't know. So connecting the dots here, Kathy, I don't know if you were working on that one.
We'll never know.
We'll never know. You know, shifting gears a second, you know, you brought up Zoe, who is also an incredible strategist. And, you know, I wanted to talk to you about your experience as a woman in the space. So I'm so happy that you gave a fellow shout out to Zoe, who's also doing some incredible work. So just, you know, touching on that broadly, how has, you know, being a woman in this space shaped or influenced your views? And you could stretch this back to your time of entering the space 2004 or 8 years ago, or maybe crypto and Web3 specifically, but how has that informed your view on the space?
Yeah, I mean, I've been at this for a while, right? So what I would say, I mean, it wasn't easy at the beginning. You know, I remember it not being easy. I had to work really hard. I think I've gotten to that point where I have a certain level of, you know, of success and freedom in some ways, right? So that has been really nice. But what I will say, one of my personal missions, Brian, is to be one of those women at the forefront, right? If people see more people like me as, you know, people out there openly speaking about the metaverse and becoming public figures of the metaverse, then they're going to see that it's not just one type of person or demographic that's building the future. It's many different people, right? So whenever I'm on CNBC or whenever I do anything like that, right, to me, it's a win. It's if more women, if more minorities see people like me out there building and doing this and leading, that lets them know, it's a signal to them that you're welcome to build this future. So I'm very, very adamant about that. I will tell you another thing, and I don't know how to explain it, but the only way I can call them are virtual bullets. You know, the haters and the stuff that sometimes people, you know, negative people out there say to me is, if I have to take some of those virtual bullets for being so outspoken and for being out there so that more women feel comfortable being voices in this space, I will gladly take those virtual bullets. Because I feel like I'm opening the trail. I'm in front of them. I'm protecting them. I'm opening up the trail for them to come after me, you know, to come behind me and be the leaders that we need in the future. So, yeah, definitely feel very strongly about that.
That's just beautiful, paying it forward in that sort of way. I mean, there's nothing cool about pulling up the ladder behind you, right? I mean, you know, we throw around the phrase "wag me" in Web3, and you know, it's a meme, of course, right? But there are so many virtues and aspects of that that just sort of like effortlessly come off the way that you speak. So nothing else but just giving you a shout that was kind of beautiful to hear, and I really appreciate that.
Yeah. Thank you.
You know, we only keep 30 minutes on these interviews because they're meant to be bite-sized segments to introduce personalities within the space. And I really feel like you and I could probably talk 3 hours here. Mm-hmm. So, you know, coming up against that half hour, I definitely wanted to reserve some time to talk about your book, which is coming out, which I put a pin in that at the beginning of this interview. So your book, what is it? What is it about? When is it being released? What sort of information do you want to put forth about it?
So the book is available in the United States for pre-order. Well, actually for order now, because it'll be May 3rd. It's called Navigating the Metaverse, A Guide to Limitless Possibilities in a Web3 World, written by myself, Dirk Luth from Upland, Tommaso DiBartolo from UC Berkeley. Our foreword is by Jad Sui, who's the chairman of the board of Animoca Brands, huge name in the space. It's a book for people to have their aha moment. Right, it's for people to understand what does the metaverse and Web3 mean for your business? How do you educate yourself? How do you start to figure out how do you create a strategy? We're hoping it's going to be a resource for a lot of people to try to understand these new waters that we're going into. It's an exciting. Anyone can go to metaversebook.com, and that'll take you to a link where you can purchase the book. I will say, no, Brian, since you asked about women in tech. Out of the, I think there's like three, there's probably four or five books coming out in the next couple of months. Out of all of them, I believe ours is probably the only one that has a female author. More women, go write your books. We want to hear from you.
But no one's going to get that SEO quite like you. Metaversebook.com. What a great URL.
I know. I invested. It cost me a little bit of money, but I invested in it. And I was like, I see the value. No. So
look, I think this book is going to sell itself. But what a URL! What a home run! I love it. Kathy, I'm sorry. Forgive me for my ignorance here. Is this your first book? I know you're an author that you are prolific in your writing, but is this your first book or no?
This is the first book that's been published by a publisher. I've self-published before, so this is the moment where this book is the moment where someone took a chance on me. Right. When someone said, we're going to put some money, we're going to publish a book about a crazy idea. So Wiley, big shout out to Wiley and Janine and the team there for believing in me and, you know, taking a chance on a crazy idea.
What's the relationship like with an editor and a publisher on subject matter that is so dense and esoteric? I mean, is there sort of this deep level of trust where they're like, well, we're just going to give you very light notes because we don't really know what's going on? Like, what was that relationship like?
It was great. Wiley had already published like an NFT handbook. So I think that there was maybe some subject matter expert or something like that in the team. So it was actually quite nice. Our editor actually was fantastic. John was our editor. He actually works for Upland. So he edited the book, but we also had an editor at Wiley. It was actually not as complicated or as you would think. It was actually quite fun.
That's amazing. So yeah, coming up on the half hour here, I'm just going to kick it to you for anything else that you want to express to our metaversal denizens out there who are listening. What are your parting words here?
Yeah, well, I mean, build community. I always say in the metaverse, we are all world builders, and now is your time to build. And you can build many things. I'm building community. And for example, you and I met in person at a dinner I hosted, a cocktail party called People of the Metaverse, a metaverse salon of sorts that I hosted at the St. Regis in New York. I'm going to be launching my People of the Metaverse community. There is an NFT component to it. But the goal with it really is to bring the philosophers, the thinkers, the creators, the intellectuals of today to discuss the challenges of the future as we build the metaverse and Web3 and have these really bespoke special settings like the Paris salons of the past. So we definitely in a renaissance, a new renaissance, and I want to be one of the people bringing people together, right, to have those conversations. So that's coming soon. That's peopleofthemetaverse.com, and Yeah. And then, you know, if anyone wants to connect, LinkedIn is definitely a place I try to bring a lot of value to. And yeah, and just, you know, meeting folks like you, Brian, that help us, you know, that help me stay connected to the community and to everything that's going on, I think is important. So.
Well, I really appreciate that. That is extremely high praise coming from you. And I will return the favor in saying that you are an absolute queen when it comes to getting the community together and just being a leading thought and theorist and just community builder and producer in the space. It's been really great to get to know you. And I couldn't thank you enough for being on this podcast.
It has been a true pleasure. Thank you.
You can catch a new episode of Port Zero every other Friday. And you can also catch the Polygon Studios crew delivering a weekly video briefing on the Polygon Studios YouTube. That's every Wednesday. Be sure to follow Polygon Studios at Polygon Studios on Twitter and all other social media, Discord included. So, you know, don't be afraid to join our beautiful burgeoning community. And this is Brian Trunzo again signing off. Thank you for listening to Port Zero.